Should be pretty good after that, right? To wrap up his letter, the last thing he has to say, Paul tells the Christians living in the city of Ephesus how to pray and why. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Which is another example of why the Bible is so amazing. In one verse, Paul gives us five big clues about praying well. Number one, we pray in the Spirit. We pray in connection with the Holy Spirit. We pray to God. I've heard lots of sermons about the power of prayer, how we should believe in and avail ourselves of the power of prayer. And I know what the preachers mean when they say that, but I always squirm a little on the inside as I listen, because I think fuzzy terminology leads to fuzzy thinking. And I think it's better to use biblical terms for biblical ideas. And that's why you'll never hear me say, "I believe in the power of prayer." I don't. I do not believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of God. And I'm all for praying. I think praying is great. I want us to be a people of prayer. But praying is nothing if you're not praying to someone who's got power. We have a fan in our bathroom ceiling, and every so often it burns out. So I take it down and I take it to Debbie's Supply and ER and I get a new one. Fan stopped working a while back, so I took the fan down. I had no idea why I did this, but on the way out of the bathroom that day, I plugged the fan into an electrical outlet and it almost cut my finger off. Turns out the fan worked perfectly, and I realized it wasn't the fan that was faulty. The ceiling outlet had gone bad, and I was glad that I had not wasted $25 on another fan, but I was frustrated because I had no idea how to fix an electrical outlet in the ceiling. When people pray to someone or something other than God, they are not connecting with the one who has the power. We don't pray, we pray in the Spirit, because in the Spirit does stuff. He has power. When people tell you that they prayed and nothing happened, when they say it didn't work, instead of asking what they were praying for, a better question is to ask them to whom they were praying. I heard one guy talking about this, and he said, "Praying is a lot like chewing. We do not get nutrition in us by chewing. We get nutrition by chewing food. And we do not get supernatural power by praying. We get supernatural power by praying to God." Pray in the Spirit. Paul says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Number two, we pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Some people pray in the morning when they wake up. They say, "Good morning, Lord," which is better than people who get up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Some people pray before meals. You know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Some people pray before they go to bed. "If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord will my soul to take." That's a lovely prayer to teach your four-year-olds. I just think, go to bed with that thought in mind. Excellent. And for some people, that's mostly when they pray. That is the extent of their praying each day. But Paul says we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions. He urges us to talk with God regarding everything we do all day long. When we wake, when we're showering, when we're traveling, when we're at school, when we're at our job, when we should pray when we're talking to our friends, when we're playing ball. At our church softball and volleyball games, teams always circle up before we play, and we always ask God to keep us safe and to keep us sane as we play this game. We talk with God while we eat, while we watch TV, while we play with our kids, while we cut the grass, while we're on vacation. Praying is an all-the-time kind of thing. A new congresswoman was placed on the House Agricultural Committee. I don't know why she was put there. The House Agricultural Committee. So she went to Howard County, Pennsylvania, for her first ever visit to a dairy farm. And Farmer Jones took Beverly Byron into the milking parlor, and she watched what they did there for a while, and then she said, "How often do you have to do this?" And he said, "Oh, twice a day." And she watched for a little longer, and she said, "You have to do this 10 times a week?" And he said, "No, twice a day." And she said, "Right, 10 times." And then she paused. She said, "You surely don't milk them on weekends, too." Paul says we are to pray on all occasions. We pray all the time, even on weekends. Ben Patterson says prayer is the first thing Christians talk about and the last thing Christians get to. And if that's true for us, that's not good. We are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Paul says we are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We are to pray, number three, with all kinds of prayers and requests. How many kinds of prayers and requests are there? I don't know. There's praying in secret and there's praying in public. There's silent prayer and spoken prayer. There's group praying and there's praying in song. There's praising, there's beseeching, there's continuous all day long praying and there's specific times for praying. There's crying out in pain. There's crying out for others. God invites us to talk with him all the time about whatever. He asks us to debrief all of our lives with him as we go through. I mentioned that in a sermon once. And a really good guy came up to me after the sermon was done, and he'd been part of our congregation for several years. He's right in the middle of everything. And he said, "John, you mean I can pray about anything?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Anything?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, like I could pray about a project I've got going on at work?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, like I could just pray about my daughter's earache last night?" And I said, "Yeah." Sometimes the spiritual depth of my ministerial responses astounds even me. He said, "I can just pray about anything that I'm thinking about?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's amazing. I never have done that. Because I thought God was so busy with the big stuff in the world, like wars and hurricanes and famines and stuff like that, I didn't want to bother him." He said, "You mean it's okay for me to just talk to him about anything?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Wow." And because of my excellent responses, he walked away with a new view of praying and a much better view of God. Working in the kitchen at Mountain View a couple weeks ago with Ashley Law, and we remembered something. She had her senior recital to graduate many years ago. To graduate from NAS, vocal majors have to do a recital. And I'd gone to some of their concerts, always in the big auditorium at Nazareth. So Carice and I drove up for Ashley's recital. We were 10 minutes early. We pulled into the parking lot, but there were no cars there. And I said, "Carice, do you know where the recital is?" And she said, "NAS?" And I said, "No, specifically." She said, "Nope, I just know NAS." I said, "Well, that's okay. Keep driving. I'll call her family and ask where they are." So I called Sharon's cell. No answer. So I called Brittany's cell, no answer. Now there's only 4 minutes till the recital is supposed to start. So I called Ashley's phone, hoping that she had given it to her dad or brother to hold on to while she was singing. And it rang and it rang. And then Ashley said, "Hello?" And I said, "What are you doing answering the phone?" And Ashley said, "Well, it rang." And I said, "Aren't you about to perform in a couple minutes?" And she said, "Well, yes, but my phone rang." I said, "Right, I know, I called. But you're supposed to be warming up and getting ready and being really nervous. You're not supposed to be answering your phone." And she said, "Well, I could hang up." I said, no, wait. I said, "Can you tell me where you are? We'd gone to the wrong building. We don't know, we can't find you." So she gave us directions and we got there just in time. And we watched Ashley sing a bunch of artsy, fartsy, French, Italian, German songs. She was great. The funny part, though, is that she answered her phone when I knew she wouldn't. I could not believe she answered her phone minutes before performing the biggest performance of her life. God attends to our prayers. Folks, he picks up the phone every time we call, every time. If we want to talk, he will listen. Wherever, whenever, whatever you want to talk about, he's there. Paul says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep praying for all of the Lord's people." Do you see that bumper sticker that says, "Be alert"? What our world needs is more alerts. That's silly, but it's true. Paul says what the church needs is more alerts. Number four, we should pray alertly. We pray alertly. We need people who will keep on paying attention and keep on asking for God's blessings, because some opportunities only come once, and we don't want to miss them. You can't miss them. There are a lot of reasons why people don't pray very much. We don't pray because we're too tired. We try to pray. When we try to pray, we fall asleep. That doesn't seem right. We don't want to insult God by falling asleep, so we just don't try. We think the problem's too big to pray. We think not even God could help with this problem. Cancer spread too far. We're too deep in debt. The person's too evil. Our country's too far gone. Why pray? We don't pray because we're not good at talking. We hear some people pray, and it's like they wrote the Bible. these and thous and humbly beseech and bounteous blessings and furtherance of the kingdom and think, wow, I can't talk like that, so I guess I'm out. But lots of people don't pray just because they forget to. It slips their minds. They just don't say, oh, I should pray. Do you hear about the group of high school girlfriends who decided they wanted to all get together again when they turned 40? So they decided to go to the Ocean View restaurant because the waiters there are hot. When they all turned 50, they decided to go to the Ocean View restaurant because the food's good and they have a nice wine selection and the waiters are cute. For their reunion when they all turned 60, these ladies decided to meet at the Ocean View restaurant because the view was excellent and they can eat in peace and quiet and the waiters are sweet boys. At 70, they decided to go back to the Ocean View restaurant because it was wheelchair accessible and the waiters are very kind. 10 years later, they all decided to go to the Ocean View restaurant because they'd never been there before. We forget, and we forget important stuff if we're not careful. We've asked God to help us in the past, and he has. And we felt wonder when God helped us in miraculous ways. But then we get in a new tough situation and we respond and we do something in that tough situation. And then later it hits us, oh, we didn't even involve God in that at all. Wow, missed a chance. Paul tells Christians in Ephesus, don't be like that. Think about what you're doing. Be sharp. Be alert. Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Number five, we are always to keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Our church sends out, we pray for each other every day. We send out a daily email. We list five or six individuals or families. We include pictures if those are available, people who are in or connected with Willowbrook. And we pray for those people that day. So every month we're covering almost everybody that we know. People who are just starting to hang out with us, we pray for them. People who have been here since the beginning, we pray for them. People we're investing in around the world, doing kingdom stuff around the world, we pray for them. People who used to be part of our congregation, we pray for them. People who are sitting next to you right now, we pray for them. Paul says, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we try to do that every day. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Please note, I am not yelling today. I am not hitting you with a guilt stick. It is not my intention nor my desire to hurt you here today. We're talking about praying in the Spirit on all occasions, in many ways, alertly for all people. Paul said, pray like that. And if you're not, I don't want you to feel bad. I just want you to think about why your praying might not look like his praying. We read what the Bible says. Adam talked with God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham dickered with God. Moses spoke face to face with God. David sang songs to God. Elijah asked God and God answered. Jesus spent nights praying instead of sleeping. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And we feel bad because we try to pray. But going through our prayer list gets stale and we don't feel like we're good enough to really do it with other people around and praying just doesn't really work for us. But then we hear a sermon about praying and we go, yeah, we get convicted. We decide we really ought to do that. So we scrunch up our face and we go home with passion and we really try and we do well on Sunday and we do well on Monday. And Tuesday's kind of hard, but we get our prayer time in. But Wednesday's really busy and Thursday we forgot altogether. And by Friday we say it's just the same as ever. Big failure. We give up. Can't do it. Somehow, some way, praying just never works. But the key, I think, the key to praying is in the next two verses, which kind of personalizes everything Paul has said in this letter up till now. Listen to what Paul asked the Ephesians to pray for him. In chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. So Paul's in jail because he's using his life to help other people know about Jesus. They put him in prison. They waterboarded him because he talked about Jesus all the time. He's been locked up for 4 years. His big trial is coming up. But he does not say, please ask God to get me out of this safely. He does not say, please pray that I won't be mistreated by my guards anymore. He says, please pray that I will say what needs to be said and that I will do it fearlessly. Do you remember what Paul said the church exists for? If you had to say, this is what the church exists for, can I do a 30-second review of what we talked about for the past 3 months? Paul said, we have been chosen in Christ in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Paul says we were chosen to make Jesus look good for his glory. Paul says God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, God might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We've been brought back to life so that God can demonstrate his goodness to everybody. And who is God showing off to? Who's watching him display how good he is? Verse 10 of chapter 3, Paul says, God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold witness of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. The thing that Paul really lived for, the thing that the church is made for, is for chances to show people and angels and demons that Jesus is genius good. And if it took being locked up in a cell for 4 years for Paul to have the best shot to get other people to see that, that's okay by him. He just asked his friends to pray that he would not blow his big chance because he was too afraid or because he couldn't come up with the right words. If you look at the picture behind the picture, what's really happening here in Paul's life is that God's got him at a place where he can really do some major good for the kingdom. He's about to be given the floor in his day at court, and they think he's going to plead for his life to be spared, when actually he's going in trying to do his best to help them save their lives. It's like a magic eye picture, where it looks like mostly just splotches of color. But if you look deeper, you can see more. So it looked like Paul's in custody and at Rome's mercy, like he's on trial for his life, like he's the one in a bad situation in the Roman jail. But actually, Paul is part of God's rescue plan, and he's praying for strength to do his job well. All he wants from his friends is their prayerful support of him telling the truth. He's not worried about his own safety. He just wants to do justice to his shot. He just wants to take his shot at telling Nero about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And we would do well to see the double picture that we are living in. We are not just factory workers, coaches, nurses, secretaries, students, pickleball players, carpenters, project managers, moms, engineers, salesmen. That's what it looks like from the outside. That's what it looks like we are. But in real life, where it really matters, we are ambassadors for the King of Heaven. And we're to pray for and look for opportunities to speak for our King every day. Personally, I think the reason most Christians don't pray much is because there's no real sense of need. They're not engaged in scary stuff much, so there's no real urgency to ask God for help. When was the last time you really, really prayed hard? If you think about it, I'm guessing that it's the last time that you were facing something that was out of your control. When you manage your life so that you've got money in the bank and food in the freezer and backups for your computer and AAA for your vehicles and health insurance with no co-pays, and the biggest decision you have to make today is what you're going to watch on Netflix tonight, there's not a lot to ask God about. And for some people, that's pretty much how their life is going. I saw a meme recently. It said, 2008, didn't jog. No, 2018, didn't jog. 2019, didn't jog. 2020, didn't jog. 2021, didn't jog. 2022, still haven't jogged. This is a running joke. But if you are an active participant in Jesus' effort to retake this planet, you're going to pray all the time. If you're doing stuff with him and you need his help, you're going to ask him all the time. Like if you're sheltering a lady and her kids from an abusive, angry husband, if you're trying to make enough money to help friends establish a medical clinic in another country as a missionary beachhead, if you're sponsoring a recovering addict, if you're working with teens who have real self-image issues, if you've got a chance to golf with a coworker this week who's been asking you why you go to so many church assemblies and how come your marriage seems so good, if your brother just told you he's thinking about leaving his wife and 3 kids, then I'm thinking you'd be more likely to pray, and maybe pray a lot. If you're doing stuff with Jesus, then you pray. I know a group of Christians that starts every workday together by praying for 30 minutes. They get together and they pray before they start their work. And then they all get back together at 11 a.m. and they pray for another 30 minutes. not because they're religious fanatics, not because they'll feel guilty if they don't. They pray together twice a day because if God doesn't show up, they can't do what they're trying to do. The International Justice Mission, IJM, they rescue trafficked kids around the world, and they need God's help. I've worked with missionaries who stop right in the middle of the day and pray because they can't go any further unless God opens up the way. You don't have to tell them to pray. They're doing stuff that forces them to beg God's assistance. So, what was the last thing that you were part of that unless God did something that was pretty obviously spectacular, you're not going to be able to do it? That's the kind of stuff Paul was in the middle of. So he prayed. And can I just say, if you're not praying regularly, desperately, maybe that's a sign that you're playing life too safe. Can I say, God did not make you to do life safe. And if you are, there's a good chance that somewhere deep in your soul, you are mostly bored with your life. Bored. Like the guy who said he spotted an albino Dalmatian the other day, it was the least he could do for the dog. Like the guy who was walking on the beach in Southern California eating an Eggo, but then he dropped it, and now he has a San Diego. Like the guy who said life is short, so I make sure to spend as much time as possible on the internet arguing with strangers. Lots of people are just wandering through life, trying to find something worth doing. Can I say the church, the people who make up the church, this group, us, we are here to make God look good by bringing life to those around us. And whatever happens to us as we try to do that, if we will deal with it with him, if we will talk with him about how it's going, we can. We can make him look good. We can help others see him better. We can make the world like it's supposed to. We are the people who are part of the most important thing going on in the world today, not in the halls of Congress, not on Wall Street, not at New Era Field, not at the CDC. The church is the group of people who are doing the one thing that can actually fix the world. So jump in, trust big, do life like life was meant to be done. Let's pray.